Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, it's good to be back.
It is.
Oh my God, back to the living.
Yeah, you've been gone.
I feel like I have been gone for so long. I mean, granted, it was a good 2 weeks, but man, oh man, it's nice to be back to life.
Well, it's nice to have you here with everybody at Motivate.
Nice to be with you guys.
Podcast brought to you by Motivate Advisors, Motivate Investments, where we want to help you level up your practice, bring your business to that next level. And we are thanking everyone for jumping on with us today. But no, it is really good to have you back, Cass. Cass has been out.
Thanks.
She had
the thing
we don't want to speak about.
The word you just don't say nowadays.
She had the fit.
She did.
She got the old COVID.
I did. But feeling good. Thank God. Happy. Happy to be back.
Grateful
for my team. I can taste. I only lost my sense of taste and smell, I'd say, for a few days. But the weirdest thing is it happened within 20 minutes. I remember I was eating some almonds. So I'm walking around the house. We're cooking dinner and I'm eating some almonds and I could taste those totally fine. 20 minutes later, we go to sit down and eat dinner. And it was like some good sauteed vegetables, you know, in a pretty heavy marinade that normally you would be able to taste. Sat down, took a bite, and I was like,
dang,
that's interesting. I could not, I mean, you know, texture-wise, you know what you're eating, but taste, couldn't tell you what I was eating in any way, shape, or form.
See, I think if I got that, I think it'd be a good time for me to start with vegetables.
It probably would be. See, yeah. I enjoy vegetables though. Like, yeah. I mean, I eat anything, but you know, what was so sad is I usually have ice cream or like a Twizzler, you know, something sweet at the end of the night. And I almost cried because I couldn't taste my Twizzler and ice cream was just cold. So that was a little heartbreaking.
So how long were you without it?
Without it, I would only say like 2 days, and then it slowly took a little bit. I'd say it took a week to come back kind of full-fledged. I was like, oh, okay, I can taste everything again. But very, very interesting sensation. If you enjoy food, it's kind of sad.
I've heard that from people. They say it's almost a bit disappointing, depressing.
Well, at that point, you're just eating for substance.
Yeah.
You know, you're not eating because you enjoy, like I was craving, I think one thing that we had is I was craving a steak. I was like, I need some protein.
That's because you did that dumb steak. 2 days.
It was like two meat per week thing.
2 days of meat per week deal.
We're being healthy. And then I needed a big fat steak.
That's so funny.
But anyways, happy to be back. Hope everyone is having a wonderful week so far, closing some business, getting their August.
Man, I'll tell you what, rolling. We're watching stuff from Motivate. And we had our meeting this morning at 9. And man, we have a lot of advisors that are busier than heck right now.
I mean, yeah. My board is busy on both sides between production and marketing initiatives. That board is full, which I absolutely love seeing.
I'd be happy to get you another board.
Yeah. Let's fill that bad
boy
up.
Keep that thing going. I'm in. You know, it was funny because we were at an event this last week and there was a speaker there who was a marketing specialist. And, you know, Cassie and I actually sat down and we just participated as the audience this time, which is pretty rare for us to do, but it was fun. But watching this individual speak and the passion that came out of her was really interesting because you could see there's a certain level of frustration.
Oh, yes.
Most of us, you know, our organization, for example, Motivate, we specialize in really three things. We specialize in how do we get people into your office, right? Mm-hmm. How do we handle that marketing? How do
Correct.
We do the process, the systems, which we can dive a little deeper in today, but really how do we get you in front of people that are the right fit that you can actually help?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one thing. Number two though, how do we provide that client or that prospect with a unique experience? So what type of things can we do to show that we are different, the differentiating factors?
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. Number three is how do we close? How do we go through the process? How do we
put the plan together?
Yeah. How do you structure a plan that makes sense?
Correct.
You know, the new word for everybody's holistic, right? But how
do
you look
at
this thing?
I don't know if it's new, but you know.
Yeah. But how do you look at this thing from a 30,000 foot view and then go all the way down from a macro to a micro, you mm-hmm. know, and look at these things and what step-by-step should you be doing? There's a step-by-step again.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah. It's the new kids on the block's been running through everyone's heads here at the office today.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. It's
weird. Anywho. Oh, I really wish I could go back and
can we
take
rewind
that out?
And mute that?
Oh,
that's all right. We'll just keep going.
Oof, that was rough.
Womp. No, oh, wrong
people
one.
People are clapping for
wah,
me.
Wah, wah.
That's weird. No, that was bad. Anyway, it was really funny because she's like, you know, there's probably about 60, 65 people in the room.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you know, how many of you are actually going to go back and do it? You know what's going to happen? You're all going to go back and you're going to do absolutely nothing. That's exactly what she said. And the whole room starts laughing. It's the uncomfortable laugh. It's the same uncomfortable laugh that my prospects have when I'm at a seminar and I talk about the three different types of people and I get to the C people and you're the people that only saw the steak on the invitation and wanted to come just for a free meal.
Yeah. It's that uncomfortable. My butt just got called out. So I'm just going to chuckle. And you know what? I mean, it's, I don't know what it is because I agree with her 100%. I love our advisors. I know everyone works really hard, but we do a lot of trainings and we do all of these different things. And on a regular basis, when it has to have the initiative of doing something yourself, it doesn't get done.
It comes down to the intent versus expectations, right?
It does.
If you have the intent, Mr. and Ms. Advisor listening right now, if you have the intent to make $50,000, there are expectations for that. Mm-hmm. If you have the intent to make $200,000, there's things that you need to do, expectations that need to be fulfilled for you to hit the $250,000. If you want to do $1 million, it's the same deal. The difference is what expectations go into it and what type of work you're going to go into it. You cannot sit back and say, I want to do $1 million. And I just want things to show up.
Well, and I mean, it's not even.
Tell them about your email. Tell them about your email.
And it's not even just in this industry. It's life across the board. You know, like
we had four people not show up for interviews.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I can't even believe that. But you know, like I got sick. I'm skinny anyways. And I lost a little bit of weight and I'm like, okay, I need to start working out again. I need to put some weight on. Guess how many times I've worked out? I haven't. So it's, I'm preaching to the choir when saying you just have to go and do something. So I did, I had a gentleman, you know, we send out different marketing emails. We did a 9-word one and it was just asking, are you looking for a new FMO or just some strategies really to increase your business? And simple, the gentleman,
just a simple email,
just a simple question. You know, we like to gauge and it's, you know, it's not selling anything.
We want to make sure we're hitting the right targets.
Yeah, exactly. So he emails me back and he said, if you can deliver me high net worth, high intent leads, and I have to do absolutely nothing for it, I'm interested. And my response was, if I can deliver those leads on a regular basis, I am working between 10 and 2 Monday and Tuesday. And that's about it. I would love to be able to do that for my advisors 100%. Right now is not necessarily feasible. I don't think for anybody.
Well, it's hard. I mean, come on. And what a crazy thing. So basically I want to become rich and famous, but do nothing to achieve it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's kind of like, and that can come up and blow up in your face. That could be a huge, huge issue. So, you know, when we look at these three things, the marketing strategies, the unique experience that you're providing to your clients, as well as the close and the process that goes into it.
Sure. And being the advisor, putting the work in and putting the plan and knowing your products and your portfolios.
You're working on all three of those, right?
Of course.
If you're a solo or entrepreneur, you're working on all three of those areas. So you need to be aware of
all three of those areas.
And you need to be working hard in
all three of those areas,
and therefore,
which can get tough, but that's when you have a team to help and support you. Even if it's not your employees, that's when it's really important that you hook up with, you know, good FMO, good RA. Are you working with marketing people? Is it kind of all in-house for you, ready to go and work together?
Yep. And there's a lot of things, we get it. There's a lot of hurdles in life that come up, but the thing I'll ask you, and I mean this, is if you're going through tough times in life, is it easier to go through tough times in life with money in your checking account or without money in your checking account? Because we know, and I'm not trying to be callous, but we know life's going to throw us curveballs. We know things are going to happen.
That's life, yes.
You've been out of the office for 2 weeks. Your husband was out of the office for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is the second time you and your husband were out of the office for 2 weeks, right? So, you know, those are tough times. Those change your lives, but you are okay. You're not in a situation where you can no longer pay your mortgage and you don't know how to feed each other.
Right.
I mean, it's a different animal. So when you're looking at these things, it's so important to realize that you have to put the time in. We were talking to a friend of ours and her name is Becky. And she was showing us a picture of her gym that they had. And she said, you know, I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling very healthy. And so I decided to join the gym. And she's like, I rushed up to this new gym. I was one of the first 10 people to sign up for this new gym. And 2 months later, her friend asked, how are you feeling? She said, I still feel tired. I still feel completely out of shape. And I said, well, you know, Becky, you have to go to the gym. Right. You have to go to the gym to be able to see the results.
True. I'm struggling with that right now.
You can't just buy the membership and expect that you're going to be jacked, right? You can't just join an FMO or an IMO and say, well, the top producer is doing $100 million of production per year. If I join this FMO or IMO, I'll do the same thing. That's complete crap.
It's just completely up to you. You can do that. There's no reason why you wouldn't be able to. Not with what you're doing
right now, though.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's up to you. You have to take those steps and put the work in. And I think that, you know, it's any business, any entrepreneur. My husband and I were actually having this conversation yesterday because he works with a lot of people that own their own shops. And he walks into the shop and it's really disorganized and they don't know anything about their products and it's not set up correctly. And he's like, he thinks that you know, people can just open a door, slap a sign on, and expect to be successful and not have to learn their craft, not have to learn their business and actually really work for it. So that's when I say it's not just our industry. It's across the board. We see this, unfortunately, a lot.
But it's not just entrepreneurs. So we offered a job to an employee. Cassie gets an email or text message back from the employee saying, well, is the starting salary negotiable? And so Cassie sits back and says, well, not right now, but you do a good job. You learn, you grow within the company. Remember, this person has zero experience with us, right? None.
Right.
Zipperoo. And I know this person personally. So I kind of vouch for this person to get to look for the job. And then they text Cassie back. They said, I'll call you back. I'll call you right away tomorrow. I need to speak with my husband, which we'll give.
Which is fine. We'll that's that okay.
No call the first day.
Mm-hmm.
No call the second day.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of office hours, the second day, we get a text saying, okay, my husband and I spoke. Basically, it's not really what I'm looking for.
Basically, I'm waiting on one position to get back to me.
Yeah, you always steal my thunder.
Go.
But it's not exactly what I'm looking for. I'm waiting to hear back from someone else. I should know back within the next 2 weeks. And if I don't get that job, the one I actually really want, I'll take your crappy job.
I would love to come
until I find something that's better. Now that's me reading between the lines.
Right.
But that's literally what she said.
It was. Yeah. That was interesting. I have not run into that situation before. And I mean, I suppose to each their own. I want someone to take a job with us that wants to be here and is excited, but to actually verbalize that in a text to a potential employer, I was a little baffled by that one. Oh,
it was great. So, I got to run into her husband at soccer that night. It was awkward. Fantastic. So anywho, what's new? What are you seeing?
You know, we were talking about it earlier. I love seeing my board full of marketing initiatives. And you know, it's really interesting. When there's marketing going on and the advisors are doing something, it puts a pep in their step.
Yep.
Which makes me really excited. You know, when we're calling and we're talking about different things and we're doing training with their staff and they're prepping for this and they're getting this. And you know, what is that one for?
It just magically makes them happen.
You kind of say it. Are you going to give me one more? Are you done now?
No.
That's
no,
it. No, are you sure? Are you done playing with the board?
We'll see. Go ahead.
Okay. Now I lost. What was I going to say? Oh, you kind of say it often. That activity breeds
profitability.
And it really does. and it's not just, you know, clients coming in the door, but I truly believe that when you're moving, you know, it's when something is in motion, it stays in motion. So I think for those advisors that are always doing something, whether it's trying a different idea, you know, talking to different clients, that momentum is what pushes the success that they're seeing.
Yeah. And I mean, being an entrepreneur it's a mind screw.
It's right. Yeah, it's tough.
And so you have to put the right things in position so that you feel like you're making progress.
Yes.
And it's the old, you know, I made a bet with a guy one time that I would run a half marathon. And you know, he basically just said, you got to put the time in. Don't necessarily worry about how many miles or this, that, just put the time in and the rest will all fall into play. And it's the same thing with business. Yeah. And it's, you just got to put the time in. You have to do the things that you need to do. And then what happens is, like magic, right? I make the joke, but like magic, it all comes to fruition one day. You know, we're watching one of our advisors who really was frustrated and, you know, things with his business for quite some time that brought in $7 million of new assets this month.
Yeah.
This month. And it's just like all of these things that he's been planting, all these seeds and all these different things he's doing. But the difference between him and many other people is he freaking does it.
He works.
He does it. He puts hard. The time in. Mm-hmm. We had a mastermind call about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. And this gentleman was talking in the mastermind call about how he went into, he had some time between appointments. And so he walked over to the hospital, the VA.
Right.
And asked to speak to the person from HR. And they let him meet her. They started talking. And next thing you know, he is doing workshops for the VA, doing federal program workshops, doing, you know, life insurance workshops, all sorts of different things. And he's telling our advisors about this on the mastermind. And, you know, there's so many other FMOs out there that are, we've got the best seminar program. We've got the best webinar program. We have the best referral strategy program. We have the best this program, that program, every program. Every program's amazing. And so one of our other advisors said, wait a minute, explain that to me again. How did you meet the person from the VA?
Yeah. And get these workshops going. Was it mail?
Did
you buy it?
And he's like, no, man, I just walked in. What do you mean? You just walked in?
Yeah. You just walked into a building and talked to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the grassroots aspect of everything is going away. And it's amazing what a handshake can do. It's amazing what seeing someone face to face, especially today,
nowadays.
Man, people miss people.
Yes. I mean, craving that, you know, personal interaction. You can still be safe, but you can definitely have that personal interaction.
People love that type of stuff. And then if you can start seeing some success there on the ground floor, your other things will start being better. You'll have better seminars, right? You'll have all these better things. And, you know, it was interesting because I was speaking to one of the largest FMOs in the country. And I asked what the top person was doing. And it was basically five main key core things. Like you and I are talking about catalyst versus cultivation.
Right.
It was basically two or three catalysts and two cultivation type of strategies or vice versa, depending upon the month. And I said, what's the number one difference between your top producer? Because I just want to see if it was the same for everybody else that we've always met.
Yeah. And I mean, it's good. It's kind of, you know, research within the industry, always learning.
What's the number one difference between your top producer and your bottom producer? And it was one word. You know what it was?
What's that?
Activity.
Yeah.
It was activity. It really was. It was activity. It was the harder you work, the luckier you get. My dad just said to me all the time, it's a fantastic saying. Mm-hmm. He also said, there's nothing in life worth being unhappy. So if you want to change it, we're the ones that can control it.
Exactly. And I always kind of think to myself, the only action I can control is my reaction. You know,
wasn't that a speed stick commercial?
No.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
I think it was.
No, it was not. It was an original OG Cassie Adefero phrase.
OG.
OG.
I think it was speed stick.
No, it wasn't. It was Lady Speed Stick. No. And you know, I often ask myself this and I ask other advisors.
Do you do this out loud when you ask yourself this?
I do. I talk to myself often and I answer as well, which they say is kind of a sign of insanity.
Being creepy.
But that's okay. I'll go along with it. It's fun. I make myself laugh.
When I was watching Law and Order last night, they said business owners and psychopaths share the same traits. They just use them different. That's on my Criminal Minds show.
I don't quite get that one, but okay.
They have the same talents of being able to
talk to people,
and do different things. It's just one
be
uses
focused
it for,
on their mission.
One's on the white, the light side, and one's on the dark side.
Gotcha. Star Wars. Well, I often, and I don't wonder, I kind of know this too, that advisors that they don't do these things because they say, I don't know how to. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to do these things, which I mean, that can, it can be either that you're, what's the word I'm looking for? Not hypocritical.
Lazy, but
a procrastinator.
Okay.
Or you just truly don't know how to do these things. But I think either way, even if you don't know how to put Facebook ads together in digital, that does not mean you can't do something. You can always be doing something, you know, you can always try out an idea. It doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. If you spend 10 hours implementing a marketing program and you get one client from it, one referral from it, whatever the case may be, that can make all the difference in our business. We are not a $5 transaction. Right. One client from 10 hours could generate thousands of dollars for you. And think of how much more you can do when you have that thousand, then you have another few thousand.
As they say, excuses will never make you rich, right? Excuses will never make you happy. Excuses are basically a person's way of justifying the fact that they haven't done what they need to do to actually get rid of the excuses to be successful.
I hope you guys know we're not harping on people. It's just, it's a matter of, you know, you guys have it in you. Everybody can do this
stuff. I'm totally harping. I'm not either, but there's a point in time where something has to force you to say, this is really what I want. Because, you know, we saw an advisor that wasn't with us this last week who had seen me speak back in a different area, probably about 7 or 8 years ago. He saw me speak for this organization. And he said, man, he goes, I remember point blank, you looked at everybody and said, how many of you have been with 2 or 3 different FMOs in the last 4 years? And he's like, and me and my partner, we raised our hands. And he goes, a bunch of people raised their hands. And he goes, you basically called everybody out. And what I said to them was not to call them out. It was saying, look, if you really want to grow your business, I'm not up here to pitch an FMO. I'm not up here to pitch these type of scenarios at that time. Right now, I'll pitch the hell out of you for Motivate. It's a fantastic organization. But at the time, I was pitching, how do you become more successful? And the reality of it is that you got to be truthful with yourself. Mm-hmm. If you've gone to 2 or 3 different FMOs out there that have fantastic programs, but nothing in your practice has changed. Nothing has made you happier. Nothing's better than it was with the previous 2 or 3. At some point, it may not be the organization.
Right. And it's a BDRA marketing, whatever you're doing.
Yeah. And it also might be the fact, because I see several, I think one of the biggest problems right now with the space, the FMORA BD space right now is it's too damn big. Mm-hmm. And even though they have great stuff, the ability to implement is absolutely terrible. And so most advisors are overwhelmed, right? And they're not sure where to start and how to get to the next level. I'll say that there's one thing out there right now that can really at least help you understand things a little bit better. It's one of the most incredible encyclopedia things that I write at your fingertips. It's called Google, right? Like if you don't know what SEO stands for, just look it up, like become a little bit more of aware of what it needs to be, because if you want to be just a salesperson, then you should probably be captive. Yeah. If you want to be independent, you're no longer a salesperson. You are a business owner. Correct. Absolutely. And you have to know more things. You don't have to be proficient in everything.
Right. But you have to be aware and knowledgeable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And be able to kind of implement everything together for you.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So when you look at things though, now that's a very macro look.
Yes.
Right. So very macro look is just work hard.
Do something, have some activity.
Right. So that's easy. That's easy for us to say that.
Of course.
Work hard. Nike had a whole campaign of just do it for years.
Right. Yeah.
But then there's the micro stuff, right? And you and I were talking about this the other day. Part of the reason why I think some advisors, some friends of ours, some people that we know are nervous to do some of these things is because it's a cash flow game, right? Mm-hmm. You do a direct mail piece, you do some food for a dinner seminar, you know, you kind of use the old standby.
Doing radio, video, whatever.
Well, but even let's just start even just the seminar, keep it simple.
Yeah.
And you spend 7 to 10 grand on that seminar, you need it to work. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it sounds great for someone to stand up on stage and say, do more seminars. Right. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds easy too. You know, just call
drop
us,
some mail, talk to people.
Close some business.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. Right. No. When you actually look into at the actual seminar itself, if you're going to spend that kind of money, your systems and the approach of how to do that seminar from a micro level need to be absolutely spot on. Mm-hmm.
I actually had this conversation with one of our advisor's assistants today. She's new and they do have a seminar going, and she's like, hey, can I have 5 minutes? I just want to do a quick overview on what I'm supposed to do.
5 minutes.
An hour and a half later, she was like, wow, that's a lot. I had no idea. I didn't even think about doing it that way. I didn't even think about needing those things. And that was just discussing day of seminar.
Yeah. And we've seen this, whether your systems and your processes for that seminar with you and your team are set up right, can mean differences between tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, or bankruptcy.
Or yeah, big fat goose eggs.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it. The people who understand the systematic aspect of it will do better than those who don't. So while we say on a 30,000 foot level, just do it.
Right.
From a micro level, make sure if you're going to spend your money, you're working with a group that can really help you, because we've seen situations where people come in and say, man, I'm doing 30, 40 seminars a year and I'm not making it. It's just not accomplishing what I want to accomplish. And we'll sit back and look at some of their numbers, and it's pretty easy to see what happens. Maybe they're not doing the right type of follow-up in the beginning, right? Maybe they're not standing out for some reason before. But there's so many different steps that you need to do with these prospects prior to,
right,
to stand out from the 12 other postcards that they got that month.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And then, I mean, when you're actually there, there's very specific things you need to do. How are you positioning yourself?
How do you set the tables?
Yeah. How, you know, do they look nice? Do you have name tags out? Do you, you know, we do tickets and stuff. And I mean, even down to, I had the conversation with the girl that, even though you and I have been working together, we, you know, bust each other's balls, we're friends. When we do, when we do a seminar, I still refer to you as Mr. Terrio because it's a positioning thing. So I was telling her those small little details really, really make a difference when this is a first impression that someone is getting of you.
And even the servers, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't work for you, right? They work, they're helping us that night, but they don't work for my firm, for your firm, anyone who's listening right now. So how do you have the servers handle it? What's their responsibility? Yep. Do you want linens on the table? Should you do U-shapes? Should you do half moon? I learned half moon last week. Uh-huh. You know, how do we structure this? Now for me, I'm very lucky because Cassie and I have been doing this for a long time, but she also has a fantastic background in hospitality and understands what a BPO is.
BEO.
See, I don't even know what it is. Yes. BEO. What the hell does that stand for?
Banquet event order.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, my background is in hospitality and marketing. So it was easy for me to take that transition, you know, into our business.
But a lot of people that hire someone who brings people on as far as an assistant or associate, they may not have that background experience. And so there's a lot of those different things that can happen. So how do you set the tables? How do you structure this? Where's the screen? Mm-hmm. Do you need a microphone? Do you need a microphone? Do you want to make sure you have name tags? Do you not want to have name tags? I always recommend name tags.
How are you being introduced? Is someone else introducing you? How long is that, you know?
How long is it in general?
Yes.
Right? Are you going to do what I used to do where I punish people and make them watch me for an hour and 45 minutes?
Not nice.
Never got a lot of appointments though that way.
You might have felt really cool, but
I thought I was the smartest guy in the world until I saw my checking account going down. You know, so those things. And then how do you book appointments at seminars? Do you not book appointments at seminars? We can give you the stats on which one's working better, but
how do you do that? What is the conversation that you're going in or your assistant is going in? And what is that conversation to really make sure you're optimizing being in front of that person and booking that appointment? There's a specific way to do it.
And that's assuming that you as the presenter did a really, really, really great job, right? Have you guys ever done a seminar where you're like, oh, I freaking killed it. Like, that was awesome. And then you got no appointments.
Right? Been there, unfortunately.
We've seen that happen. Have you ever been there where you're like, oh my God, I stumbled all over my words. It didn't feel like it felt terrible. It felt just terrible. And crush it.
Yes.
Right. I had a buddy of mine, a mentor of mine, who actually got me in the industry. And he got up really, really sick one day. And so his sister, who was licensed, went up and she had to do the presentation. And she's not a public speaker.
Right.
But she followed the system verbatim, right? She knew the system because she ran his world. And she went up to the podium. She read the seminar. I think she looked up over an hour. She probably looked up at the people four or five times. And people loved her. People absolutely loved her. They loved the system. They loved the way it went through it. They loved the words that she used and the feelings that she was able to bring out in them. And it just was a total game changer. And we learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
It can be about the systematic aspect. So as a presenter, you need to be on par, spot, spot on. You need to be above par.
No.
You need on to kick, par? You need to kick butt.
Kick butt.
Do it well. Keep it simple. Yes. A lot of times in seminars, one of the things I'm really, really, really good at is getting in the weeds and losing the client's attention.
Yeah. I mean, if you get up there and you try and prove how smart you are and you discuss alpha, beta, numbers, all this stuff, people are going to start glazing over, and that's when you lose them. I mean, It has to be
alpha, beta.
Oh yeah, a little nerds action for alpha, you. Beta. It always have to be educational, but you have to make it real life so someone actually pays attention and says, "Oh, they're talking about my situation. They understand and they can help me." Not everybody just wants to be preached at with a whole bunch of really big fancy words that they don't understand and they feel like an idiot at the end of the day.
And then if you're gonna, let's say you're the best presenter in the entire world and you do an absolutely amazing job, but your subject sucks.
You're in trouble for that one too.
Yeah.
It's a tough, there's so many little factors that, and I mean, that's just before and during. The after the seminar has a whole other process that you need to be following and making sure that you're, you know, dotting those I's and crossing those T's as well.
48% of all financial advisors never even follow up with a prospect. 48%. So you think about all the money that people spend, Cassie. Think about whether it's direct mail, through Facebook ads, whatever medium you're using. Think of the thousands, tens of thousands, if not even millions of dollars over people's careers that they spent and never followed up with a prospect more than once. They just took the people who booked with them.
Right.
They followed up with them and then they let the rest of them die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not hopefully not die, but
yeah, that's not very nice.
No, that was not.
I mean, and when you look at the percentage of the people that actually book an appointment at that first one, you know, on the first meeting, the first time you meet with someone, and keep it and come in, it's a low number too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and really to close on the first appointment, it only happens 2% of the time.
Right.
So, I mean, you have 100 appointments. I mean, how many of you have 100 appointments in a month that can afford to strike out 98 times to close two? It's not happening. We need to make that and create that to be more efficient. So you're right. After the fact, that's where the work starts.
Yeah.
That's where the work starts. People are excited before the event. It's after the event that the work starts, and that you'll see things come to fruition later if you do it right. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, I think what we're looking at, you know, when we look at a macro level, we look at the micro level, is just putting these things together so that you're constantly doing something.
Right.
Right.
And you're doing it efficiently and strategically as well.
One of the best ways that we can offer that is with one of our programs that we use is called Automate. Automate is it's just like a multi-use tool. It's basically kind of almost like your CRM or Redtail with,
I mean, marketing capabilities, chimp.
What's it called?
MailChimp, Constant Contact, ClickFunnels. It's, you know, it's your, all of your marketing softwares and programs and initiatives kind of built into one as the technology, but then also being able to internalize these processes for you and your team and do it digitally and physically too. So it kind of, you know, systematizes all of it for you, but has the marketing initiatives and capabilities as well.
And this is a fintech software that's built for advisors by advisors, which was a big deal because if you've ever worked with a marketing agency that was really, really good, but never specialized in what we do is pretty specific.
And
there's certain
things
that we can say and can't say and can do and can't do based upon compliance measures and things like that. So, you know, I think that having something like Automate could be a really, really good key component for most people. So I would definitely recommend checking it out.
Give us a call.
Cool.
Give us a cool over here in Florida.
So before we wrap up, what else you got?
That is it. I feel bad. I hope people weren't like, oh my God, they're being so rude today. But I think both of us are, I know I'm a big meanie. Both of us are very passionate about what we do. So when we see stuff going well, we want to celebrate it and we want to be excited and, you know, share in that success. And when people are struggling, we're going to jump in wholeheartedly to see how we can help. If sometimes it has to be a little bit stronger conversation, so be it, because the end result is success for everybody. So I hope today, if we're being a little loud, if we're being a little feisty with this, it's because we actually care and we want people to succeed and change their business.
I don't think it's feisty. I think it's an honest conversation. I think people are so worried about hurting each other's feelings.
I know, but I'm
world.
Like the big pansy.
No, but the reality of it is that we're not speaking to a specific person right now. We're speaking to a group of people who are all fantastic, but they at some point have to look inside and say, am I happy with where I'm at? And if you are, awesome, kick ass. This was probably the wrong podcast. Hope we didn't waste your time.
We'll listen to you now, or you'll listen next week.
No. But we know the majority of you listening right now might need to have someone say, hey, we get it.
Yep.
I've been stuck in ruts. We've all been in slumps. I understand how it works. I'm not always feeling like I'm at the top of my game. No one is. I don't care what they say, you know, and keep it also in mind, things like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, all those things. Everyone looks happy as hell.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, you can always say social media is in real life.
Yeah. So keep in mind, like, you're not alone with this whole thing, but sometimes you need someone to say something that is truthful for you to say, you know what? I'm ready. I'm really, really ready to get to this next level because I want it for myself. I'm not expecting anyone else to do this for me. This is my time. I can take these steps. I can be a business owner and I want to go out there and kick butt and take names. And that's what we at Motivate Advisors specialize in, is helping people take those things to the next level.
Kick butt and taking names, baby.
Let's do it. And that's why.
You should give us a call. No, but I hope you guys, thanks for hopping on. If you do want to talk about any of these things, if you need a little strategy session, give me a shout, 772-247-4488. Can always be reached by email. It's Cassie, C-A-S-S-I-E at motivateadvisors.com.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk to you as well, just to see what's going on.
Sure.
Don't Same expect phone this number. Is a situation where you have to talk to us about coming on board right away.
No.
We want to know what's going on in your world. If there's something we can do to help you out, please just give us a call. It's really not a big deal. It's not a high pressure situation.
We may or may not put you on a podcast and call you out, but that's okay. It'll all be good fun.
My name and birth date. It's not a big deal. It's only private if we like you. If we don't like you, that stuff goes
We're getting it out there.
Viral. But no, thank you so much, everybody. We look forward to seeing you. 877 Motivate. You can go to www.motivateadvisors.com.
There you go.
Or motivateinvestments.com.
Thanks, guys. Have an awesome week, and we will talk to you next week.
See ya.
Later.